Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Ryan Elke, Danica Halen, Anthony Bellino, all joining you here this morning on this Wednesday, 21st day of April 2021. A reminder for tonight's Tigers game, it is a doubleheader. So we're going to have some afternoon baseball after the postponement yesterday. That inclement weather, love the shot of Dan Dickerson that he put on Twitter like, yeah, probably going to need to reschedule this one. A reminder to all of you as well, we have UFC 261 coming up this weekend. TwinSpire Sportsbook has a special primetime offer for the Usman-Masvidal fight. The rematch this weekend, UFC 261 in a sold-out Jacksonville arena. New players can win $100 on a $1 bet if the welterweight champion Usman defeats Masvidal in Saturday's title rematch. Just use the promo code PRIMETIME and you'll walk away with $100 in your pocket if the heavy favorite Usman emerges victorious. TwinSpire Sportsbook. Download the app or visit twinspires.com today. Dan, we all set with Chris over there?
Yep, he's ready to go.
Excellent. All right, time now to welcome in. If you don't follow him already on Twitter, I don't know what you're doing. You can find him at Castellani2014 on the Twitterverse, and he has become a part of the Detroit media, the Detroit fandom, the Detroit Tigers viewing experience. Chris Castellani joining us now here on X's and Bros. Chris, my friend, first and foremost, good morning to you. Thanks for taking the time to join us, man. How are you, partner?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciated that kind intro there.
Well, you know what? Hey, you can find Chris's work on Twitter. Find it on the Locked On Tigers podcast. And you can also find him on the Brewcast on MazeandBrew.com as well. Chris, I got to know, when you started making these recap videos, which I very much personally enjoy, by the way, let me just throw that out there first. When you first got the idea to do it and you just were like, hey, all right, I have a Twitter. I'm going to start doing these recap videos. Take us through the process of just, you know, developing what has now become Tigers baseball postgame.
Well, I mean, what it was, the origins of it kind of began when I was in college. I knew I loved baseball. I knew I loved the Tigers. It had been a passion of mine for a while. I just wasn't sure what to do with it. And, you know, I think back when Vine was still around, just for fun, I did like little like 7-second recaps. I think that was in 2016. And then Vine got discontinued. So I figured, all right, well, I have several hundred followers on Twitter. You know, they'll pass it around. And it was mainly meant to be something that just kind of got passed around between me and my college friends. And then, it happened all pretty quickly. And all of a sudden you go from 800 to 3,000, you know, overnight, and things started growing. And now it's just continued. This is the fifth season in which I've been doing these. And lately the reception's been unbelievable. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's one of my favorite things that I'm fortunate enough to do, is just for 2 minutes and 20 seconds a night, talk about my favorite team.
You know, it's incredible that you pack in all the information that you do in 2 minutes and 20 seconds, as you mentioned. And I'm one of the folks that actually looks forward very much to catching that, to, you know, your recap in seeing how you break down the game. When's the last time that you actually missed watching a Tigers game?
Oh, man. 2012, maybe.
Wow, every game since 2012?
Yeah, I'll cap it at 2013, simply because that was my senior year of high school, and I gotta think that there were a few day games that they played while I was in school. But yeah, I mean, I can't think of one that I didn't, that I wasn't able to watch most of since then. Yeah, I try to catch all 162. Yeah,
that it's incredible, man. It's a West Coast game on a Saturday night, and you can find Chris's recap at 1 a.m. if necessary. It will be there. Castellani 2014 is the Twitter handle for you to view it if you're not following him already, which if you're listening to this show, you have to follow him on Twitter. It's just a given at this point. Chris, what do you make of this Detroit Tigers team this year that in stretches, I'll go back to the Houston series, looked really promising, right? We had that jumpstart story of Akil Badu slapping the ball all over the place, and then they went into Oakland, and even though they got swept by the Oakland A's, I've been very intrigued, outside of Mize giving up three dingers early. I've been very intrigued by, it seems like, the progress that the pitching staff is making this year.
You know, through 16 games, I think what we've seen through 16 games is a reflection of the team we're going to get for a majority of the year. I think there's going to be kind of a Jekyll and Hyde syndrome with this team. I do think the pitching, especially by the end of the year, starting pitching especially, will be more stable than it's been over the last several seasons. I think there's a high ceiling with this rotation. Matt Boyd looks as good as I've ever seen him right now. Mize had that great start against Houston. Skubal still developing. And they got Spencer Turnbull coming back this week. And, of course, Michael Fulmer looks better than he's looked in a while. I still like the prospect of him pitching out of the bullpen. But, hey, if he works his way back into the rotation and pitches well, I'm all for it. But I think the Achilles heel is going to be the offense. It's just not a very well-constructed offense. There's not a whole lot of power. There's not a whole lot of depth. I think AJ is doing everything he can to construct the best lineups possible and work with the numbers. But, you know, there's not a Juan Soto here. There's not an Aaron Judge. There's not that centerpiece in the middle of this lineup that you can look at and say, all right, that's a guy who's going to be here 4 or 5 years down the road. Now, we believe they might have that in the farm system with Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, you know, two highly touted prospects, two top five picks, Torkelson going number one overall last season. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have those series where they may be capable of sticking with a team or maybe even shutting down a team if they get some good outings out of their starting pitching. But offensively, you know, I think they're probably going to have several series like what they had against Oakland where they're just kind of shut down against really good pitching.
When Akil Badu takes over the entire Michigan sports scene, I mean, it was a great start, and he had his struggles against Oakland. I forget what he was, like 0-14 with 10 Ks or something crazy throughout that series. And it's like, okay, like just try to wipe that one from your mind. You come back home, taking on the Pirates. Doubleheader today, 2:10 and 6:40 start times for those who want to catch the games on Bally Sports Detroit or on the Tigers Radio Network. It is it was a story that I don't want to say fun while it lasted, because I think that there's a lot more in the tank for that young man. He just had a little bit of a slump in the series against Oakland, but at least a bright spot for Tigers fans who I feel like have really been trying to reel in reach for something positive to look forward to with this team.
No, and that's what I was saying. I don't know if this guy's going to develop into a star. I have no idea. He's 22. I know the intangibles are there. Rule 5 picks are tough. I mean, 90% of them. There's a reason why they were in the minor leagues for 5 years. But it was a very cool story, and still is. You know, this was a guy who's never seen a level of baseball higher than A-ball. High A-ball. He had a great spring. Came out with hitting the ball really well so early on this season. Had the walk-off, had the grand slam, homered on the first pitch he saw. The tools are there. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, there has not been a whole lot to celebrate at points over the last several years. So to see this kid get called up and do what he was able to do for those first several weeks, that was a lot of fun. Now is the adjustment period. You know, there's film on him. Pitchers know what they can expect out of him, and he's going to have to try to adjust. And it'll take time. He's 22 years old. He's a rookie. I'm sure he'll take his lumps. He already has. He struggled a lot in that series against Oakland, but a good story nonetheless.
You know, Chris Castellani joining us right now here on X's and Bros. Find him on Twitter at Castellani2014. And Chris, where are you at with Miguel Cabrera? You know, every offseason we hear, oh, he's in the best shape of his life. Oh, big, he looks good. He's really trimmed down, right? And then this season, just a microcosm of what we've seen from Miguel recently. Yeah. And he's a long ways away from Triple Crown. Miguel Cabrera comes out opening day, snow flurries flying, hits that home run, slides into second base. Everybody's giggling to themselves, like, hey, okay, this is great. Miggy's back. He looks good at first base defensively, making, diving for balls, trying to make plays there at the bag. And then he gets injured. And his contract is just an albatross at this point. Where are you at with Miguel Cabrera?
Well, I think I'm where most people are. I think the player he is now is a reflection of the player he's been over the last several seasons. The bat-to-ball skills generally are still fine. His issue is, look, he can't lift. He doesn't have a whole lot of power right now. The knees are pretty much shot. He's not a terrible hitter, but you look at the analytics. He's been slightly above replacement level over the last few seasons, and I think that's probably where he's going to stay. The only silver lining is that we will see him get to 3,000 hits. We will see him get to 500 home runs. But yeah, I mean, the contract's brutal. I go back and forth with that because this was a guy who for close to a decade, if he wasn't the best hitter in baseball, he was at least top two. And there was a period of time where he was absolutely the best hitter in the world. So yeah, I mean, I'm, I don't buy into any of the hype of, you know, him being in the best shape of his life. I think he is. I think he was. I think that's good. And the one thing I appreciate about him is that he's never gotten comfortable with the situation that he's been in over the last several seasons. But he's just had a lot of injuries, and he's just had a lot of surgeries. And those add up. So, you know, you'd love to see him be able to turn a corner, but I do think that what we've seen so far in 2020 and what we've saw going back over the last several seasons is probably what we're going to see over the next few years with him still with that contract still on the books.
Yeah, and I wish that he would have had some more media availability, and hopefully he will in the future, because he's a funny guy to listen to, and it seems like he's got a pretty good relationship with some of the media members and post-game pressers, and we can at least have some fun and try to enjoy him for the rest of his tenure here in Detroit. Chris, what do you make of this outfield? Because it seems like it's outfield by committee, but the committee just isn't necessarily MLB status outfield.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's where I do give Hinch credit. I think every lineup he's put out there, the guy plays the matchup. You know, this will not be a team that will be more talented than most, but I think they could be a team at least that's trying to be a bit smarter than most. The problem is, you look at the outfield right now. Mazzara's on the IL, who wasn't, you know, he's not some world class hitter, but he's a name and at least is capable of hitting for power. So right now you have, you know, the four-man outfield of on any given day of Badu, Grossman, Jacoby Jones, and Victor Reyes. And, you know, two of the worst hitters in baseball right now are in that outfield. I mean, Reyes and Jacoby have done nothing. I the batted ball data supports that Jones may turn a corner at some point. The exit velocity is still good. Reyes has never had solid batted ball data, really. Grossman is serviceable as an on-base guy, but is not a great defender. Yeah, I mean, look, that to me is one of the biggest indictments of the Avila tenure so far, is that we're this deep into the rebuild, and there isn't anybody in the outfield right now that you can look at and say that's a piece going forward. I mean, the one that you can point to hasn't seen that bat in Double A yet. I mean, that's Riley Green, and he's, you know, 20 years old right now. And do I believe in him? I do. I think he's going to be a wonderful player. But if we're just talking about the major league product at this point, there's not a whole lot there in the outfield in regards to power or average. I hope one of these guys is able to turn a corner. I hope Mazzara is able to come back and be healthy. But even then, it's an incomplete unit, I feel like.
You know, Chris, and all the time watching guys like Victor Reyes, Jacoby Jones down at Toledo at the AAA level, you'd read about it and you'd see the hype, Baseball America, where they're at in the prospect list, this, that, and the third. And it's like, okay, well, I'm waiting for this guy to jump off the screen. Like, I'm waiting for this guy to literally, you know, hit the ball so hard that I can say, oh, wow, one of those guys was Kristen Stewart. He could knock the ball, I mean, across county lines down in Toledo. Struggled, obviously, very much so at the major league level. Another guy that I could point to right away that I remember seeing early, and it was like, this: there's no way this guy's here more than a couple months. It was J.D. Martinez. He was the last guy down in Toledo where he hit the ball, and it was like, yeah, this dude is a pro playing AAA ball. Like, it's only a matter of time. And you see some of the guys coming up, and it's just like, I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is, which brings me to the guy you just mentioned, Al Avila, the general manager. Should this team have tried to maybe spend some money this past offseason to bolster this roster a little bit? Should they have gone out and tried to acquire someone to give them some major league help in the hitting lineup to try to, you know, jump start the rebuild a little bit?
To me, absolutely. Now the signings themselves, I put that more on Chris Illich, because I do think to a certain extent Al Avila's hands are tied in regards to the budget. But you look at what was available, especially following a COVID year where, you know, a lot of teams lost revenue for the first time in a long time, and a lot of really good players were non-tendered or their options weren't picked up. To me, I looked at some of the big free agents available. I understand the logic behind maybe not wanting to get Springer, because Springer's, you know, a 30-year-old outfielder. You're a team that's still 1 or 2 years away from competing, I understand. But, you know, to me, like, the white whale of the whole thing was JT Realmuto. I think that if you look at the catching position for the Tigers over the last several seasons, there has not been a worse group of catchers than what they've had with Griner and Jake Rogers and Bobby Wilson. I mean, it's been absolutely brutal. I think that would have been a wonderful piece. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question mark really about this whole rebuild is, will they spend ever and will they spend wisely? I was talking about this last week. You know, next year is the greatest free agent shortstop class we've ever seen. Correa, Seager, Baez, Story are all free agents, and I do think that if they don't go out and snag one of those guys, I think they're going to have trouble filling the park over the next several seasons, because there was a point following the 2003 season when they really bottomed out where it became clear that a switch had been flipped for Mike Ilitch. I hope that that happens again with Chris Ilitch. And yeah, I mean, we're deep into the rebuild at this point. There's not a whole lot of offensive pieces that you can look at and say are parts of the future. There have been a few moves Avila's made recently that I was fine with. I didn't think the Ramos signing was terrible. He's been good so far. I thought last year the Scope and Crone deals were fine, but we're talking about a lot of 1-2 year contracts, and you know we know where teams make their bones. I mean, it's signing those guys to those 4-year, $200 million contracts, getting those star players, because there's not a whole lot here right now at Comerica Park.
No, and you mentioned Javier Baez, and if he became a Tiger, I mean, I'd sacrifice a lamb for that guy right now. If necessary, if that's what we need to do, whatever we got to, like, if we got to get Jobu in the clubhouse, let's do it. Whatever it takes to get somebody like him, I would do that.
I'm with you, man. Any one of them. I mean, give me Seager, give me Correa. They're available. You know, it's just – and this is still a big market. And if you dish out a good enough contract, people will come here for sure.
Amen. Chris Castellani. Find him on Twitter at Castellani2014. Chris, my friend, studio audience, they love you. Thank you for taking the time. Keep up the great work. Don't stop. We love it. Thanks so much. Always looking forward to the recaps in the postgame, man. So keep it up, man. It's a pleasure to watch.
Awesome, Anthony. Thank you for having me, man.
There he goes, Chris Castellani. Find him on Twitter at Castellani2014. If you're on Twitter and you don't follow him already and you want good quality baseball coverage, he's going to deliver it to you every game. Every game. And it's in depth, and it's all within 2 minutes and 20 seconds, which is also incredible. That's all for us here on this Wednesday edition of X's and Bros. We'll be back in action tomorrow, same time, same place, here on the Michigan Sports Network. Dan's got a busy day ahead of him. A little doubleheader action, 2:10 and 6:40 at
seven innings. Hey, it's only 14 innings of baseball for two games, though. Think about it.
Please, whatever you do, don't tell GB Ritz that, okay? Don't tell him. He was really worked up earlier. I don't want him getting worked up again. All right, so we'll just don't tell him about the seven inning thing. Just tell him we got two games for him. You also get the Detroit Pistons are going to be on the road against the Dallas Mavericks tonight in 8:30 tip-off to go see Stewie, Sadiq, Saban, Killian, Bad Boys 3 taking on Luka and company. Very important game for the Dallas Mavericks. So excited to see what Dwayne Casey's starting lineup might look like tonight. We're going to go back again with that full-blown youth movement and kind of see where the roster is at, who's available and who is not available. Of course, you know, follow all of our friends, whether it's Amari Sankofa or James Edwards or Rod Beard, for up-to-date news and information on the Pistons. For Ryan and Dan, I'm Anthony. So long. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on the Michigan Sports Network. It's all coming up this weekend. UFC 261 in Jacksonville, and TwinSpire Sportsbook has a special primetime play for the Usman-Masvidal fight this coming weekend. Championship bout. New players can win $100 on a $1 bet. That's right. Win $100 on a $1 bet if the welterweight champ Usman defeats Masvidal in Saturday's title rematch. Just use the code PRIMETIME, and you'll walk away with $100 in your pocket if the heavy favorite Usman emerges victorious. TwinSpire Sportsbook. Download the app or visit TwinSpires.com today.